The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time for the Wichita State Shocker Men's Basketball Coaches Show with your head coach, Greg Marshall, presented by your hometown Chevy dealers. Now let's go live to AJ's Sports Grill at the Alley at the corner of 13th and Greenwich Road with the voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy.
Good evening. Welcome to Shocker Coaches Show night at AJ's Sports Grill at the Alley. And I will acknowledge it's pretty cold outside, pretty bitter cold with that North Kansas wind. But it is warm here in AJ's, and Shocker basketball is hot right now. The women's team, 5 out of their last 6. Keitha Adams will be here at 7 o'clock with Steve Strain and Greg Marshall alongside the Shocker men's basketball team with 2 one-sided wins last week, most significantly an 80-61 road win at Oklahoma State yesterday. So, Coach, welcome. And certainly last week we were talking about a disappointing performance against West Virginia. The 2 games last week give you some encouragement that your guys are listening and moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. It was almost a 180 in terms of the beating that we took at the hands of West Virginia down in Cancun on the glass, and from an effort standpoint with loose balls, to what we did yesterday, Sunday, in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. I thought our guys responded well to some 4 practices that week. The Central Arkansas game is hard to tell, but against Oklahoma State, certainly you're going against some top-flight athletes and guys that are as big or bigger than we are. So I thought we responded beautifully and handled the pressure very well down there and just shot lights out. I thought we had some really good performances.
You know, you were up 7 at the half. It was one of those games that felt like it could have been more. There were a couple of little things here and there where you easily could have been up 11-13. And, you know, you kind of wondered if that might give them the opportunity to make a little comeback, but you just really jumped on them right from the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning of that second half was fun. It was good to see the guys flying up the court and playing with confidence, sharing the basketball. Tyson Etienne, Eric Stevenson, Trey Wade, Jamarius Burton all made big shots and big plays as we kind of just put the game away midway through the second half. I had no idea we would be able to do that, but I was just hoping to squeak out a 1-point win down there. But our guys did a wonderful job of building that lead ultimately to 29 points. And you know, we have to mention that likely the point guard was out for Oklahoma State. I think he's got mono, but it was his second game out, and they've lost 2 in a row without him. But he's a tremendous player, but I'm not sure he makes up for the deficit that we had him.
You know, and sometimes you bring up something like this, and it looks like sort of making excuses or looking for a silver lining. But to me, you have to also look at the fact, and this is not certainly a harsh criticism, but Dexter's not playing nearly like he can right now. So you not having Dexter Dennis playing like he can is somewhat like them not having Likely at all. There was that factor involved.
Yeah, Dex is in a little funk, and you know, we're going to figure out what he can do to to snap out of it. I think he needs to see the ball go through the basket. And I'm going to encourage him that when I see him again tomorrow before practice, go and sprint and get a layup in transition. You know, get an easy one. And that's what he needs to have happen. And then the next jump shot might go down, and then his confidence will start brimming again. But he's so athletic. We need to get him in transition and get out in front of someone. I love watching him run the court, and he's not doing that at all right now as well.
You know, in the first half, you took the seven-point lead, but half of your shots were from three-point range. It seemed like you were having a little bit of trouble other than those first minutes when Jamie was in the game scoring inside. You came out right away, got him a couple of baskets right off the bat in the second half, and then from there, even though he got in foul trouble again, both Asbjorn and Poorbear got you some buckets inside.
Yeah, we really had some nice set plays in the second half in particular. Jamie's one of my favorite plays was his shot fake, and he got Yor Ane to go for the shot fake, put it on the floor, and I mean he brought the house down with that dunk, and he made at least one three, if not more, in the game. So I thought the set plays to get us the easy ones for Poorbear, for Asbjorn, as well as some open jump shots in transition, and what led to some of those 3-point shots was our good offensive rebounding effort in the first half. You mentioned we took a lot of threes, but that's a great time to take a three when you get an offensive rebound and that defense is sucked in.
You know, and mentioning that, there were some plays that kind of gave you a feel for where your guys were mentally and how you were playing, because at least three times and maybe four, you got offensive rebounds, and at least a couple of them were balls that were wrestled away from somebody off the floor, and you end up getting a three-point basket out of that extra possession.
I thought Poorbear had an offensive rebound that was nice. It led to, a three by Tyson Etienne. I thought Eric and JB early on were really good at going to the glass, and if they couldn't secure the rebound, they were tipping it out and just keeping it alive, and it seemed to be quicker to the ball. The ball was bouncing our way, and that led to some open threes as well. So if you can't secure the offensive rebound, we like the guys to just touch it and alter its path so that then maybe we can come up with the trash as it leaks out from the perimeter.
They went to a press fairly early in the game, and in the second half, it felt like not only were you attacking the press, but found that nice balance of going through the press, looking to score, but not getting sped up or forcing things at the back end.
Well, the first couple of times, we almost got 10-second counts. We beat it with like 1 second to spare, so we needed to be a little more aggressive. And when teams press us, what I was taught and what I try to teach my team is we want to turn that into a scoring opportunity. Just use the pressure against them to get great looks. And we did that very well in the second half. We were moving the ball crisply, and we were finding guys up the sideline. And then you usually have numbers when you beat the press.
Well, we will continue with Coach Marshall. A lot of good things to talk about. The Shockers come off their win at Oklahoma State, 8-1 on the year. We'll be back to AJ's in a moment. Welcome back to the Greg Marshall Show. Wichita State with just one game this week. That's at Intrust Bank Arena on Saturday late afternoon against the University of Oklahoma as the Shockers try to sweep the two Big 12 teams from the Sooner State, coming off a win yesterday against Oklahoma State. A little bit of news from today. Jamarius Burton is a member of the American Conference Honor Roll this week for his two performances last week. And Tyson Etienne is the American Athletic Conference Freshman of the Week, and we'll throw some numbers at you. But, you know, you look at JB, and typically those honors go to somebody that scores a bunch of points a lot of times. He did average 10 points in the two games, but 7 points yesterday, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 1 turnover, and 3 steals without scoring a bunch of points, basically took over that game yesterday.
He really did. And I mentioned in the post game, I thought he was the toughest player on the court. It's JB. JB is a tough kid. He loves to do his work, you know, in that key area, in the lane. He loves to get in there, and he made a short jumper midway through the first half, it seems. But the play, I thought, just typified his afternoon is he literally took the ball from Resnick on an offense, on a rebound. We had made a shot. They defensive rebounded it, and he just took it from him and laid the ball in. It reminded me of the play last year when Rideau from South Florida did it to Poor Bear down in Tampa.
And we talked last week about you had some concerns about guys trying to do too much on their own as far as the shots they were taking. He was actually one of those guys. Some of the success he had early, he tried to carry over against South Carolina, West Virginia, maybe overdid it. He mentioned that himself yesterday, but obviously took it to heart and adjusted his game this last week to doing that when he can but not forcing it.
And we talked about this not a couple weeks ago. It's amazing. And I'm learning this now, 22 years in as a head coach, 35 years as a coach. Kids, one of the hardest things that they have to deal with playing college basketball at this level, coming from prep school, junior college, high school, whatever it is shot selection. Not knowing when to shoot, because it used to be so easy. Now it's not so easy. Are you going to force a shot up? And he did that a number of times against West Virginia, JB, but the other day, I didn't see any forced shots on his part. We may have had one or two. You know, to be honest with you, I haven't looked at the whole game. I'm gonna watch it tonight. But I've watched certain parts of the game and really enjoyed going back. But I'm gonna break it down tonight and see how many bad shots we took. But it wasn't that many. We've learned to get into that paint and make the next play for your teammate.
And he's doing that. Eric's doing that. And you know, we talked about sharing the ball. You came off a 6-assist game against West Virginia and then averaged 20 in the two games last week.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, when we're playing well, when it's vintage Shocker basketball, it looked like Shocker basketball to me yesterday. And when it's vintage Shocker basketball, which I want to call Shocker basketball, that's what we're doing. We're sharing the ball. We're moving the ball. We're getting others involved and getting others quality looks.
And I just brought this up last week about how passing is an underappreciated, undertaught aspect of the game. And I know that beyond defense and rebounding and toughness that are some of your biggest things, there's nothing that excites you more, and me too, to see great passing. And certainly there was a lot of that yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, the passing is an undervalued skill. People don't work on it. We literally spend more time passing last year and this year than I've ever done as a coach, because I see a lot of our guys were deficient. I mean, we just in terms of not just the technique where you take a step and you extend your hands and those thumbs go underneath and you snap it and put some velocity on the pass, but just in terms of how to be on balance, pivoting, those type things. We have to do it on this level. We teach fundamentals to these guys so that hopefully they can be better next week than they are this week and next month than they are this month in that passing.
You know, and it has to be a big plus this year. Last year, all of those learning types of things took longer because everybody was new, except for Marcus and to a lesser degree, Samaje. It seems like having some guys like JB and Eric that have been through it, it's helping spread the word, and some of the new guys are picking it up a little faster this
year. I saw a quote. It might have been in the Eagle. I don't know where I saw it. I've been reading quite a bit online. But Poor Bear was quoted, the old sage Poor Bear. He was quoted as saying, we needed the freshmen this year to come along much quicker than we did last year so that we would be ready to go. And it was interesting to hear him say that and come out of his mouth. But he's right. You know, those like Tyson Etienne, he was very solid yesterday, and Grant gave us some good minutes. Noah was okay down the stretch. But, you know, those guys last year, those were the guys that were having to win the game for us, those freshmen. So thank goodness we do have some not upperclassmen, but sophomores like Eric and JB to steady the ship this year.
And certainly I thought it was a key moment yesterday. The first time Grant came in, he struggled running the offense against. They'd really turned up their defensive pressure. And so without much of a rest, JB came back in. And at that point, he kind of took things over, and it was much smoother running the rest of the
Yeah, Grant picked up his dribble twice, and he's got to keep that dribble alive and make the simple pass away from the pressure, away from the iced ball screens where they really force you in the on the sideline there, and then let the offense use the pressure against them. But you know he's gonna learn that, and he hit a big three in the first half, and he was a part of the win.
I mentioned the two guys that got some honors today. Tyson Etienne, 16 points per game in two games last week, made 61%+ of his three-point shots, also had three assists in yesterday's game, and is really coming along. He's just this pretty unique freshman.
Yeah, he's a very unique kid. He's very mature, super, super dedicated and committed to being a great player and a great person and a great student, wonderful young man to have in your program. But, yeah, he's a weapon. That three-point shot that he has, and we shot it so poorly last year. I remember being out on the recruiting trail to be able to get a point guard like Grant Sherfield that can shoot that, like that. Noah can shoot the basketball. But Tyson Etienne is more of an off-guard than he is a point guard. But I saw him in the AAU myself. No one sent me to watch him. We've talked about that before. I'm watching the game, and I said, man, I really like this kid because every time he shoots it, it's just the bottom of the net. And then I saw how hard he worked. And then once I became acquainted with he and his family and learned what a great kid he was, I said, we've got to get him. And we beat some pretty good programs for his services.
And he reminds you a little bit of Fred in the that he's very articulate, he's very intelligent, very outgoing. You would almost expect him to be somewhat easygoing just talking to him, but a really learning in there.
We've talked about it. I've had to tell him to stop doing all the additional workouts, and he's up at 5:30 in the morning and getting a workout in, and then he works out afterwards at night, and just slow your roll a little bit. You're gonna need those legs in February and March.
We will continue with Shocker head coach Greg Marshall. The Shockers 8-1 on the season, heading into the Intrust game with Oklahoma this week. We'll be back at AJ's. Welcome back to the Greg Marshall Show. The Shockers come off an 80-61 win at Oklahoma State. And one of the things that was a significant contribution in the second half. We've talked about a lot of different guys, but Jamie got off to a quick start, scored a couple of baskets, as we talked about, and then got his third foul right away. And I thought in the second half, both Asbjorn and Poor Bear really gave you some solid minutes in there.
Asbjorn was really playing big. I thought he was rebounding at the peak of his jump, and he was in there banging and scored a couple of baskets for us on the set pieces we talked about. Poor Bear's really starting to come on. He had a nice offensive rebound that led to a three in the first half. Playing with a lot more confidence, and I'm more confident now in him going out as a power forward. And when he's at the power forward with Jamie or Mo, who couldn't keep from fouling yesterday, or Asbjorn, then we're pretty big.
And you know, I mentioned that Mo had a lot of foul trouble yesterday, really didn't play very much, but he's had some significant games for you this year. And we've talked about this many times. You got caught in a situation once at Winthrop and once here your first year where you didn't have even a second point guard. That's a priority. But when you have three or four guys that size who can all play and give you minutes if somebody's in foul trouble or whatever, that's a pretty nice advantage to have.
Well, especially when they foul the way they do, man. We're fouling too much, and it's getting – but it's not an issue. You want to sit on the bench because you've got fouls and I got somebody else I can put in. We have one too many post players right now, but it hasn't hurt us. In fact, it's helped us. And that was our game plan. Your Ane is a very talented player. When you scout him, you go, man, not only does he block three shots a game, his offensive game's coming on. And I told the post, we're going to wear him down just with our sheer numbers. We're going to sprint the court every time, put him in ball screens, bang on him in the post, and let's just wear him down. And, you know, he they only have the one center. I mean, I don't. I guess Boone, one of the Boone brothers is the backup, or Resnick. But those guys, Resnick especially, hasn't played a whole lot. So we had them in sheer numbers in, at the five spot.
You know, and got to give them some credit for the defense they played, especially the last 8 or 10 minutes of the first half. And so what you saw from them, what you've seen now from West Virginia and South Carolina, you're not going to see a whole lot of that the rest of the way. Certainly Houston tends to play that way. I don't know if they're as physical as a couple of those teams, and maybe Cincinnati in our conference. But you've seen about as intense athletic, physical defense as you're going to see this.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's all from the Bob Huggins tree. Frank Martin from South Carolina. Of course, we played West Virginia and Bob Huggins, the grand poobah of the whole system. And then Mike Boynton, who was under Brad Underwood, who was an assistant to both Frank and Bob Huggins for 1 year. And then when Underwood went to Illinois, They bumped Mike Boynton up as the head coach. So it's the same system. We played it three times in our nine games. So we're getting a little better at attacking it, I guess. But no, we won't see that much more, I don't think. But we will see some very good man-to-man. But that the way they're on the line, up the line, that's why how we were able to come around behind them and set those little diagonal screens to get those guys layups in the second half by coming, because the defense is so high. It's on the line, up the line is a terminology, but our guys were able to set screens, and we had wide open layups.
And even though you may not see it much, it's certainly beneficial to play against that, and certainly your guys have gotten better at recognizing backdoor cuts and different things that you can do to relieve that.
Well, we're going to see VCU here in a couple weeks, and they play a different style also, but it's pressure, it's run and jump. I thought we would see more run and jump from Oklahoma State, especially when we got the big lead, but I guess we just handled it well. Maybe they did a couple times, but we handled it. Anything they threw at us, we were just able to make the extra pass and get those guys wide open threes.
Something that people may bring up, I don't know, but from the end of both the Central Arkansas game and the game yesterday, things got a little sloppy toward the end and so forth, but I know as a coach, while you can never condone it or excuse it, it's kind of human nature when you have those kinds of leads to maintain intensity all the way to the end, and especially if you're trying to get some guys a chance to play up.
Well, yeah, I at that point, the game was over. I did want to play well towards the end. We were a little sloppy, but I don't want to get the core guys hurt, you know, in a 24-point lead with 3 minutes to go. So we were able to get Noah in there and get him some experience, and Grant played quite a bit down the stretch, and Dexter Dennis trying to get him some confidence going on. And I didn't empty the bench totally and get into the walk-ons, but everybody that dressed from a scholarship perspective played quite a bit of minutes.
Do you feel like that you're really starting to see some benefit from the teams you've played recently in terms of the growth from West Virginia, even through Central Arkansas, which was not the same kind of opponent, to Oklahoma State, where you're really starting to see that the guys are learning from those experiences?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, we'll find out. We've got another tough game coming up on Saturday, and then we've got another tough game the following Saturday. So we've got a great opportunity now, but opportunities are only as good if you seize them. You know, opportunities lost don't do much good for you. So the West Virginia one was an opportunity lost, and we took advantage of this one yesterday, and hopefully now we can get Oklahoma coming in here on Saturday. I mean, last time they played in Intrust, they gave us the business, but of course they had Trey Young as their point guard.
Yeah, and you pointed out both accurately and graciously that they didn't have Isaac Likely, and that certainly was a factor in the game. It's also a factor in terms of how good that win may look later on when they get him back and the kind of success that they're likely to have with their full team in it.
Well, that team beat Ole Miss by 41 points. That team beat Syracuse by 16 in Brooklyn or Madison Square Garden or something.
Yeah.
They were up in New York. They're a quality basketball team, and they're really, really, if they're healthy, which they weren't, they're gonna win a lot of games in the Big 12, and I'm pulling for them every game now. I want them to be really good because we need that game to be an important game, a resume builder, if you will, towards the end.
and certainly something you have done at a level that virtually no one else has done in the country in the last few years is win on the road. And you know, when you look back to last year, people may not have noticed. Certainly they knew you were better at the end of the year. You won your last six true road games last year. This is your first one this year. So those guys that played as freshmen last year, starting to get a feel for that, and certainly the NIT, winning at Clemson, winning at Indiana, and now winning at an Oklahoma.
Winning at Furman. At Furman was probably the toughest one of all. You know, I told the team before the game, other than winning a championship and being able to cut down the nets, winning on the road in college basketball is one of the best things that you can experience as a college player. And, you know, because everything's against you, the crowd, this, you're sleeping in a different bed and all that, the travel. But our guys are starting to really respond to that and relish it. I mean, a guy like Eric Stevenson, I think he prefers to play on the road. As much as he professes to love Coke Arena, and he does, I think he loves being the villain.
And that's a – I know that's a pride thing that develops along with the pride and toughness and defense and those kinds of things, that winning on the road is all a part of that.
Mental and physical toughness, and more mental than anything, just being able to tune that out. And basically, you know, when things were going really well for us yesterday, I think one of our guys hit a shot and kind of looked at somebody in the crowd, didn't say anything, didn't warrant a technical foul, but made sure that that fan that had been probably saying some things during the course of the game got a good eye contact after the shot. So I brought him in. I said, listen, we're not going to do that. We're not going to take anything away from how well we're playing by our antics, or we're not going to get any technical fouls and all that. So that's part of it, being mentally tough. And basically the adage is when you walk off the court, you can just point to the scoreboard. That's all that needs to be said.
And the things that you really pride yourself on and teach lead to what goes into winning on the road. Defense travels, rebounding, making free throws, toughness. Those things travel. Those things give you a chance to be in any game if you're making shots or not.
Yeah. I tell you, an interesting parallel to that is talking to Cleo Littleton, because it's ironic that we're playing Oklahoma, and because back in the day when he was not allowed to play in the tournament down in Oklahoma, whatever they call it, all college tournament, and then inviting him after we beat Oklahoma that first year in Oklahoma City and presenting him with the trophy, and he talked to our guys on what it was for him as an African American playing college basketball back then and how difficult it was and all the things that he was subjected to and had to hear and see and experience. You talk about mental toughness, you know, that's incredible. And our guys, you know, you don't have to deal with that, but you still have to deal with some rather obnoxious verbiage and whatnot on the road. But just to be able to go in and perform at that level with everyone against you is pretty cool.
All right, we will continue our discussion with Shocker head coach Greg Marshall from AJ Sports Grill at the Alley, but a brief timeout. Welcome back once again to the Greg Marshall Show at AJ Sports Grill at the Alley. We are here on most Monday nights. We will be next Monday night coming off the Oklahoma game and heading into VCU. And coming up at 7 o'clock, it's the Women's Basketball Show with head coach Keitha Adams. Shocker women have won 5 of their last 6. Coach, I asked you before yesterday's game in our pregame interview about how you felt about the way your defense was coming along, and you said certainly it would give you a better idea after watching them against an Oklahoma State than against some of the teams you've played.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. You know, we're, I think, in the top 10 as far as the metrics in the country with our defense. And you know me, Mike, on the defensive end, I'm kind of a perfectionist, and we'll never coach a perfect game because the other team's generally going to score. But to me, a perfect game is shutting the opposition out, and we're pretty good, but we're not shutting anybody out. So we will continue to work on it. Our guys are really bought in to, and we realize, especially early, when the shots weren't falling for us, that's how we were winning with defense and rebounding.
You know, something that I might not have thought about on my own, but when we interviewed Grant Shurfield after the Central Arkansas game, we talked about pressing a little bit, and he said our four men are really good at helping double team on the press and when we trap, because they've all got good feet and they're quick. And we're talking about Trey Wade and Poor Bear at times and DeAntoni Gordon. That is a factor you don't always have in trying to do that.
Right, and we're even playing at times. Yesterday we were playing Dexter Dennis a little bit as a four man, so we're playing a little small, but yeah, those guys can move their feet. Poor Bear, not quite as much as the other three, but the other three are quite athletic and can move and jump, and their lateral quickness is very good.
And you mentioned that that one of the things that Oklahoma State missed with Isaac Likely not being available, he's one of those guys like Fred was, with the strong hands and getting the gaps. But you've got some guys that are pretty good at getting deflections and playing those gaps.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were very tough on the defensive end in terms of bumping guys off cuts and beating them to the spots and listening to the game plan. Coach Lou Godino had a wonderful game plan, and one of the things we tried to do was limit the touches of Dezagua, because he's such a good three-point shooter and he doesn't scratch. I mean, that's something that needs to be talked about. I mean, that guy, he shoots nearly 40% from three, and every year he breaks open a game or two with his tremendous three-point shooting, but he couldn't get a look.
And certainly, again, guys are listening. I know you talked about in discussing that you can't go under screens. You've got to get over the top of the screens if he gets any daylight at all, and he did not get any looks.
Absolutely. They followed the game plan, and that's part of the mental toughness in a tough environment where it's loud. And we can't when the play's on the other end, offensively in the first half, defensively in the second half, there's no communication from the bench. It's just those five guys out there, and they've got to communicate with one another. Whether they're going to switch a screen, or whether they're going to ice a screen, or just shadow a screen. There's so many variables, and they did a very, very fine job. And that's where we can get better in terms of our communication and everyone being on the same page within a possession.
And certainly yesterday, as much as any game you've played, is maybe a situation where Oklahoma State had several individuals capable of scoring, and so there were some keys to individual matchups, and I thought those were executed very well. We've talked about what a great job JB did offensively, but he was on Lindy Waters about as much as anybody yesterday and really made it tough on him.
Yeah, Lindy didn't have the game that he normally has, but Dezagua doesn't score at all. He couldn't draw a shocker. I saw on the TV, he tried to draw a shocker and kind of be funny. But and he couldn't get a three look either, so he was an 0-for as far as his skills as an artist and his shooting on Sunday. But I thought JB on Lindy, I thought the job that the fours, we talked about the fours and the job that they did on Cameron McGriff, he's a fine player. And all three of those guys are seniors, so they've been around. They were all on the team as freshmen when they came in a couple of years ago and blitzed us in Trust Bank Arena.
We will continue with Coach Marshall. The Shockers have a big one coming up at Intrust Bank Arena this week. We'll continue on the Greg Marshall Show in just a moment. Welcome back to the Greg Marshall Show. And in our final segment, we're going to talk about the game coming up this week. The Shockers host the University of Oklahoma at Intrust Bank Arena, 5 o'clock tip-off on Saturday afternoon or evening, however you choose to look at that time of day at this time of year. It's getting dark, so it's almost evening. But another great opportunity. And a couple of things I wanted to talk about just leading into that. One is why you like the opportunity to play at Intrust Bank, which has been a regular thing now during your tenure here.
Yeah, we've played at least one game every year. Originally, it was for recruiting and showing the guys not only Coke Arena, our beautiful on-campus facility, but showing them an NBA-type arena where they also get an opportunity to play, usually against a great opponent. So we did it for recruiting, but then the guys really like it. They like going down there just as a change of pace. They like the feel of the NBA arena with skyboxes and all of that. So there's multiple reasons. And, you know, it's obviously we had the 2 years where we lost in grand fashion. But before that, we had won five or six in a row. And then we squeaked out one last year against Southern Miss. So I think we're 7-2 or 6-2, something like that, maybe even more. But we, the two losses, you know, they were to the hands of Oklahoma State and Oklahoma in back-to-back years. And, you know, we'll just have to be a little better than that this time, hopefully.
And certainly you mentioned NBA-type arena. Also, with where the conference has, I mean, last year in Memphis, now the new arena in Fort Worth, certainly that's the type of arena, background, feel, and everything you're going to see in your conference tournament, and then certainly anything beyond that.
Yeah, I actually saw a game last week. TCU played someone in the first basketball game ever at the Dickies Arena, and it's beautiful. They did a little tour of the place in Fort Worth. That's where the American Athletic Conference tournament championship will be played for three straight years at least. So the seats are gray. It's a beautiful arena. It's got a great scoreboard there. So TCU lost, but we'll I'm sure we'll have a lot of Shocker fans make that trek down to Fort Worth.
And then in addition, we talked about this a little bit last week, the fact that Mike Boynton has been willing to play a series, and you've got another one going with them now, and Lon Kruger with Oklahoma. And I know that that's led to not just the fact that you're playing, but I know a lot of mutual respect for those two people as individuals.
Oh, yeah. Good. First of all, Lon Kruger, a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, he's been to Final Fours with multiple teams. And then on the other end, you've got Mike Boynton, who's in only his second year, I think, is maybe
third year now.
And I knew him as a player. I knew when he was a player at South Carolina. I saw, because you know, being a South Carolina fan all those years, I followed that program. And he was a good point guard for Eddie Fogler and then Dave Odom. And just tremendous young coach. And they're going to be really, really good. Supposedly, they have the best player in the country going to be on their team next year, who will be coming to Wichita. And the number one recruiting class in the entire country.
Yeah, and it was interesting, just all the relationships that were involved in that matchup. Barry Hinson is now sort of an advisor who's coached against Wichita State 32 times, and who you've coached against. Scott Sutton coached Oral Roberts against the Shockers. John Cooper played here and knows Earl Grant, who coached for you, knows Tyson Waterman's family. Even found out yesterday he'd gotten to know Ben Smith in the last couple of years, who's now a GA.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, going down their bench and shaking hands, it was like old family week and getting together for Thanksgiving. I knew all those guys and have good relationship with them. And I did not know Barry was on their staff. Last year was a head coach at Southern Illinois, obviously, but that's where he landed. And when I saw that, I'm thinking, man, we'll never be able to get any type of advantage with our set plays because they know us down to a T.
Oklahoma this week, kind of a unique situation. They have Austin Reeves, who played for you for 2 years and then decided to transfer. I don't know if you've encountered that before in your career or not.
No, Austin's the first kid in 22 years of coaching as a head coach that we did not want to transfer, we did not expect him to transfer, that elected to transfer. So it'll be a first.
And he's having a good start for them. They're What do you see from them as a team as far as style and type compared to maybe anybody you've played?
Too early to talk about that one, Mike. I have not gotten into them yet.
A couple of familiar names. Christian Doolittle, who you faced a couple of times, 6'7" forward, who's off to a very good start for them. But I mean, obviously, a well-coached team with Big 12 athletes.
Absolutely. They've got the Bieniemy kid, and they've got a freshman point guard, Davion Harmon, who – everybody in the country wanted. We would have loved to have had him. Tremendous, tremendous player. And Doolittle. They've got the Manic kid who shot it like crazy a couple of years ago here in Wichita. So it's going to be a battle. But I'm still, apologize, I'm still enjoying the Oklahoma State one right now. Okay, I've not moved on to Oklahoma.
That's okay. You know, one thing about it, the game against Oklahoma and Oklahoma City last year was kind of an aberration. You haven't had many like that in your career, and that's one that some of your guys played in, so I would think there'd be some motivation there to
You don't think I'm gonna have a hard time motivating the guys this week, are you think they're gonna see some video from last year?
So at this point in the early going, you now have, you had a Thursday game, a Sunday game. Now you, it's Sunday to Saturday, Saturday to Saturday. I'm not sure when your finals fall. I'm sure in here somewhere. So is the spacing pretty good as far as working all that in and playing games?
Perfect, yeah. That's we've only got two more games before the holidays, right?
Right.
And then right after the holidays, we start with Abilene Christian and then Ole Miss.
ECU,
and then we get into ECU and Memphis. So, yeah, it's perfect. I mean, now we get a chance. We got to get through exams. Exams are going on right now. So today we didn't practice. We just, you know, relished the win from yesterday, and we'll get back after it tomorrow. And then one of these days this week will be a very light day with just some video and some shooting and some skill development and not actually a full-fledged practice.
And I'll mention to everyone who doesn't follow this sort of thing, first of all, the NCAA net rankings haven't started coming out yet. Those are that's the new thing that started last year that's involving a lot more than the old RPI used to, and that's the basis for at-large selection as much as anything. But Ken Pomeroy had the Shockers at 48, and then some teams the Shockers had played had lost on Saturday, went to 51. That win over Oklahoma State moves them to 38, which, you know, if that's where they are kind of in the NCAA net, that's a good position to be in. That's likely going to get you in the mix for an NCAA at large. So these next couple of games, Oklahoma, VCU, certainly Mississippi coming up, are the non-conference games in addition to Oklahoma State and the two you played in Cancun that really help you position yourself for that sort of thing at the end of the season.
Absolutely. It's why you play those games. You know, you have to win them. You have to take advantage of the opportunity. Otherwise, it's an opportunity lost. But South Carolina, you never know how good they're going to be. West Virginia, pretty solid. They're going to be really good. Then Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, VCU. I mean, our non-conference schedule, and we're right in the midst of it now, is a very good one. And then the league, you know, the league is a quality league again, and we're going to have to play Memphis and Houston and Cincinnati, and all those teams can beat you on any given night. And Tulane's one of the teams that's at the bottom of the league, and they're really played well this year so far. So every night, man, it's a battle, it's a grind, and you got to prepare, and you got to have your boys ready to go.
And we talked about this with the defense a little bit earlier, but it's a pretty good variety, and you mentioned VCU's a little different than everybody else. You're getting a lot of different looks that help develop a team to kind of face whatever you might have to face at the end of a season.
Yeah, we are. And you know, as much as we try to simulate these different looks, if you don't do it all the time, it's not the quality that you see in the game. But yeah, it should prepare us for just about anything with all the different looks that we've seen thus far and will see in the upcoming games.
This year is kind of a unique year for you as far as recruiting. You've got one senior. You've signed a guy that certainly, but it's a never-ending process, and I'm sure that you're out there keeping your eyes open for whatever may develop.
I'm leaving here and going to watch a game as soon as we're done here tonight, so I'll leave it at that.
All right, and I'll let you go. So, Coach, thank you, and we'll see you Saturday.
Thanks.
All right, Shocker head coach Greg Marshall. Again, Wichita State and Oklahoma meeting at Intrust Bank Arena on Saturday. I will just say there are still tickets available. I hope those get bought up. If you were waiting for a sign of how good this team can be, if yesterday didn't do it for you, then I feel sorry for you. So let's get a lot of people out to Intrust on Saturday. It's always a great atmosphere there, but it's even better if it's full. And hope to see you all out there on Saturday. Our broadcast begins at 4, tip off at 5. It's kind of a unique starting time, so just make sure you've got that on your calendar. 5 o'clock Saturday at Intrust, and then we will be back here Monday night for another coach's show before the Shockers face VCU the following Saturday. Coming up at the top of the hour, it is the discussion of Shocker women's basketball with head coach Keitha Adams and Steve Strain, and they have won 5 of their last 6, so that should be a good discussion as well. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next Monday at AJ's with the next Greg Marshall Show.
Hey! Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.